Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
It's rather sobering to consider this question, but I want to ask it anyway. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. If you knew that today was your last day on Earth, what would you say? Think about that for a moment. If you knew that today was it for you, what would you say to those who mean the most to you? I don't think you'd talk about your plans for tomorrow or next week or even next year because, well, there would be no next week or next year. You wouldn't likely talk about your career path or maybe how your boss has been driving you crazy because you'd have already worked your last day. I don't think you'd comment on the weather, the stock market, or even the horrifically sad events that we see happening all over the world because, well, today is your last day. So if you knew today was your last day, what would you say? The Last Lecture is a New York Times bestselling book by the late Carnegie Mellon professor Randy Pausch. The book is based on a talk Dr. Pausch gave in a series of lectures where top academics were asked to think deeply about what matters most to them and then give a hypothetical final talk to students and colleagues. The goal was for these brilliant people to decide what wisdom they would pass on to the world if they knew it was their very last lecture. Here's the tragic and interesting twist. For Dr. Pausch, the exercise wasn't hypothetical. When it was his turn to give his last lecture, his doctor had just told him he had 10 tumors growing in his liver, and despite how great he felt, he had less than 2 months to live. So he gives this remarkable one-hour talk where he fleshes out everything he wants his children to know after he dies. He tells stories about his childhood. He gives lessons he wants his kids to learn. And along the way, he urges his children to live life well. And if you've ever watched this lecture online, it is spellbinding. And it's not because everything he said was so spot on. It's because he said it with such conviction, with a sort of, I've got nothing to lose perspective. That's the power of the last lecture. But you know, Jesus had a last lecture of sorts. Strangely enough, his last lecture was after he died and then came back to life. And then just weeks later, just moments before he was going to return to his Father, he gathers his closest followers together to share his final thoughts before his departure. Hold on to that, okay? Today, we are wrapping up our series, Are You a Disciple? In the first four books of the New Testament, known as the Gospels, Jesus says there are particular ways of being in this world that characterize his disciples. And if these ways are evident in our lives, then we are truly his disciples. And during this series, we've been digging into four sayings of Jesus, challenging one another to some deep self-reflection and asking the tough question, are these things true of me? Does my life reflect the qualities and characteristics of a disciple? And remember, these marks are for self-evaluation, not to try to gauge other people, so don't be elbowing somebody or giving them the side eye. In week one, we looked at what Jesus means when he says that we are to deny ourselves. In week two, we looked at when Jesus said that his disciples obey his teachings. For about a year now, we have used this definition of a disciple of Jesus. A disciple is someone who hears from God and does what he says. And then last week, we looked at what Jesus meant when he said, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. And so today we come to the close of this series, and I think it's appropriate that we look at Jesus' final words before he returns to the Father. You might call this Jesus' last lecture, his final remarks about what it means to be his disciple. And I find it interesting that Jesus' final words to his disciples remind them that they don't exist for themselves or for what is going on between them and God alone. Rather, his disciples are to go into the world to help others find their way back to God. Disciples are disciple makers. At Community, we often talk about how we believe God wants us to experience the U-plus life. The U-life is one we're all too familiar with. It's a life that tends to mostly be about you. But God put us on this planet to experience so much more than a life that's all about you. He wants us to experience what he calls the abundant life, or a life to the full. And we call that the you plus life, a life that is about three vital connections: you and God, you and the church, and you and the world. And today, Jesus speaks to us regarding the you plus the world connection. We are to be disciple makers. Here's how Matthew, the former tax collector turned disciple of Jesus, records these last words of Jesus. He writes, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." The disciples are down from 12 to 11 because Jesus was betrayed by Judas. They have yet to select another person for their team, and they're gathered on a mountain near Galilee where Jesus told them to go. Let's read on. "When they saw him," when they saw Jesus, "they worshiped him, but some doubted." Now, I've got to pause here because I want you to remember that, okay, this is Jesus' last lecture. And in these final moments, Jesus' most loyal followers are described in this way. "When they saw him, they worshiped." So far, so good, right? But then Matthew adds this comment, "but some doubted." They worshiped, but some doubted. Jesus is about to leave for a very long time. And I have to think that in his humanity, he had to be looking for some reassurance that his mission was in good hands. But instead, when they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And while this may have been a letdown to Jesus, is there something here that's somewhat reassuring for us? Aren't many of us like them? We worship. We show up on Sundays. We serve. We give. But we still struggle with doubt, don't we? We question what we believe at times. We wonder if, you know, some of this is actually true or if it really works. Their doubts remind us that when Jesus gave his last lecture, he wasn't speaking to an elite group of super Christians. He was talking to people just like you and just like me. The journey of the first disciples was like our own. And see, this reminds us that what Jesus is about to say, it is for all of us. For all of us, with all of our doubts, struggles, and questions. And so, with that in mind, let's go to the heart of Jesus' last lecture. "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" Can you imagine the rush of emotions this handful of Jesus' followers must have felt as he gathers them on this mountain just weeks after his death and incredible resurrection? And keep in mind that just moments after he speaks these words, he leaves. Jesus is gone. Luke, the doctor and historian, tells it like this. "After Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight." So this was Jesus' last lecture. It's often referred to as the Great Commission. And you know what? It can be summed up with four key words: go, disciple, baptize, and teach. Go, disciple, baptize, and teach. I'll tell you what, say that after me, okay? Go, disciple, baptize, teach. Let's dig into those words a little further. The first word I want us to look at is the word go. Followers of Jesus are people who are on the go. And this idea of going, it can seem daunting at times. A number of years back, my wife Lisa and our family, we realized that God was asking us to go. And this time it meant moving to a new community, a new neighborhood from the suburbs to the north side of Chicago to help start new churches in the city. But you know, this is not always about going and moving to a new community or even a new country. This is an as you go, every day, day in and day out, wherever you may be, command to go and make disciples. Way back in Genesis, God instructed Abraham to go and bless all people. And for him, it did mean leaving his family and everything he knew for a new land. But it was also an as you go, I want you to be on mission with me and bless all people everywhere. like Abraham and the 11 that gathered on that mountainside. See, Jesus calls us to go, and in doing so, we fulfill this calling that has been passed down through the ages. And remember, this commission to go, it's not just for a selected few. No, it's for all who follow Jesus. We are like the disciples who both worshiped and doubted. We're like Abraham, who often blew it, but still followed that call to step out in faith. It's a simple call to go about our daily lives, being a blessing to those we encounter and sharing the love of Jesus with them. And you know, I find it encouraging to know that people seem to be more open to spiritual conversations than ever before. As a matter of fact, Lifeway Research found that more and more people are open to discussing the Christian faith with their friends. 66% of Americans are open to spiritual conversations. 40% say they are very open. Almost two-thirds of Americans say they are open to talking with a friend about having a relationship with God, with 36% being very open to this discussion. Jesus calls us to go. And this is about going and embracing our role as everyday disciples, blessing and loving the people and places we come across every single day. But you know, the Great Commission does not end at only going. The commission is to go, but to go and make disciples. And again, we've talked a lot about what it means to be a disciple, and we've stressed this simple definition. A disciple is someone who hears from God and does what he says. But in Jesus' Great Commission, he calls us to not only be disciples, but to make disciples. Now, I want to pause and acknowledge that this command has been abused at times throughout history, as people have used the name of Jesus to commit atrocities and enforce Christianity on people groups. That's not what Jesus is calling us to do. Disciple-making isn't about being in a position of power at all. Jesus said he came not to be served, but to serve. And so disciple-making is about walking with people wherever they are in their journey of faith and helping them hear from God so that they too can do what he says. And we do that by making space in our busy schedules to do life with others just as Jesus did. He did life with his 12 disciples. He invited them to join him in what he was doing. He invested in their lives. And sure, it was time-consuming. It was tiring. But it was all so worth it. And we make disciples when we imitate Jesus and invite people into our lives. And this can look as simple as exploring the truths of Scripture with a friend, asking someone to join you for a service at one of our community locations or online here, taking someone under your wing at work to model for them what it looks like to be a good employee who works for God and not just for people. It could mean bringing someone with you when you serve in your community. And as you include people in your life, see, they will begin to hear from God through what they hear and experience with you. And then you can encourage them to do what God says. See, you can be a disciple maker. And notice that Jesus says that the task is to make disciples of all nations. Missiologists, people who study missions, say that at one point in the past, the U.S. was the number one country sending missionaries overseas. But today, the mission field is from everywhere to everywhere. And we don't have to go anywhere to make disciples of other nations, especially if you live near a major city. The nations are coming to us. In fact, now other countries are sending missionaries to the United States to reach people here. Jesus calls us to make disciples. And we can do that right where we are as we love and bless people around us. But the Great Commission does not stop there. We go and make disciples of all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptism is such an important mark in the life of any follower of Jesus. You know, for me, it was a Sunday night in August when I walked down the aisle at the end of a church service to tell everyone gathered there that I wanted to follow Jesus and be baptized. And I was baptized right then and there, and I will never forget it. And anyone who's been baptized will tell you just how meaningful that moment was for them. Now, let me explain it this way. How many of you who are married wear a wedding ring? I think you would agree that you know, the ring itself doesn't make you married, right? What makes you a married person is that you're in a relationship, a committed relationship. You respect each other. You do life together. You have emotional and physical intimacy. And yes, you also make that commitment public through a marriage ceremony. Well, baptism, it's kind of like that wedding ring or wedding ceremony. You know, it's a marker event that lets everyone know you are committed to following Jesus. And in baptism, you see a person declares their allegiance to Jesus and becomes his disciple. And yes, Jesus calls us to take that step ourselves, but you see here, he also calls us to help others take that step too. I've seen people live out this command to baptize hundreds of times by just sharing with their friends and family the reason they were baptized. You may have even noticed that, you know, when we celebrate baptisms at community, the people in the pool with the person being baptized aren't necessarily pastors or staff members. Often it is a friend or family member or small group leader who has helped lead that person to a decision to be baptized. Yes, Jesus calls us to baptize. So let me ask you, who in your life could you encourage to be baptized? Who might already be thinking about it? And you know, just a gentle nudge from you might be just what it takes for them to follow through. Finally, in the Great Commission, Jesus calls us to teach people to obey. Now, most of us don't see ourselves as teachers, but this isn't about being the person who is going to enlighten everyone. This is just about helping one another follow Jesus. Frederick Dale Bruner, a theologian and writer, describes it this way. Making disciples means we work with people over a period of time in the simple educational process of teaching Jesus. And we can teach Jesus by reading and discussing scripture with someone, sharing a story of how God is at work in your life, holding one another accountable to the ways and teachings of Jesus. This is simply about helping one another grow as disciples of Jesus who hear from God and do what he says. And this is why we challenge every person at community to have a you plus discipleship conversation. Jesus calls us to teach people to obey. And the whole purpose of a you plus discipleship conversation is to help one another hear from God so that we can do what he says. That's it. This is what our U Plus focus is all about. It's about helping one another take steps in our connections with God, the church, and the world. So we will continue to invite you to have a U Plus discipleship conversation, but we'd also love for you to guide someone else in a U Plus discipleship conversation. Again, you don't have to be a wise sage to do this. Just make yourself available to listen and help a friend discern how God is speaking to them. And then you encourage them to obey, to do what God is inviting them to do. A U Plus discipleship conversation is a simple and practical way we can live out Jesus' call to make disciples and teach them to obey his commands. And if you haven't done this yet yourself, can I just respectfully ask, what's holding you back? What's holding you back? I believe it could be the single most important step you will take in 2024. And the second most important step you can take is to help teach a friend to do the same thing. Jesus' last lecture was a commission to go, disciple, baptize, and teach. These were his last words before he left. But you know what makes Jesus' last lecture different from any other last lecture is how he concludes with this incredible promise. In the last words in his last lecture, Jesus promises to be with us every step of the way. I love how the Gospel of Matthew starts with the birth of Jesus and the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. And then it wraps up and concludes with the promise that Jesus will always be with us as we live as disciples who make disciples. Go, disciple, baptize, teach. The question now is this. Will you listen to Jesus and do what he says? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these last words of Jesus, for us to go, disciple, baptize, and teach. Lord, we're so grateful that you are with us every step of the way. So give us the courage. Give us that nudge. May your spirit prompt us even this week to look for opportunities to not only be a disciple, one who listens to you and does what you say, but also a disciple maker who helps others do the very same thing. We pray this in your name. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.